Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHPL. Remind you tonight, 6 o'clock, Westwood One pregame will lead you in to the national championship game between UConn and Purdue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to our friend, former Michigan State star, Damon Bethea, who's joined us throughout the tournament to talk basketball. All right, Damon, Purdue is in it. A Big Ten school can win it. They're 6.5-point underdogs. But I'll be honest with you, I like their chances. I think this is going to be a good game, and I would not be shocked if Purdue won. What about you?
I wouldn't be shocked if Purdue won. And, I mean, I think this game is more of a closer to a toss-up than what Vegas is saying as far as a 6.5 underdog, because – you know what? Purdue can match up with UConn, but there's going to be a couple things in there that have to play into their favor in order for them to win this basketball game tonight.
All right, so what has to play into their favor for them to be victorious?
Well, the thing is that if Klingon can neutralize Edie, who is, you know, the UConn's big, who's 7'2", so it's not like there's a distinct size advantage there. And you know, UConn's big is a very good defensive player in and around the basket. And, you know, he can make it tough off of positioning. And then they bring another big off the bench who's very active and can run the floor, Samson Johnson. And the other thing is that how well will Purdue shoot the ball? If Purdue can shoot the ball well, they've got a chance when Edie kicks it back out there. I know UConn's perimeter, defensively and offensively, their perimeter players are elite and exceptional in what they can do. And Smith, Purdue's point guard, struggled in that game against North Carolina State. He had two backcourt violations from getting pressured up near the half-court line. So there's some things that are going to play in the pace of game. And as well, and like I said before, shooting. I mean, hey, how well do you shoot that? How well are you going to be able to shoot that basketball in a dome environment on the second day of the Final Four?
So when it comes to the ability to shoot, I'm curious, like, what your thoughts are on, you know, look, Purdue, usually when they throw it inside to Edie, that's going to force some defensive rotations because most teams don't have a 7'2 guy to try to guard him. And then that can lead to open shots for other people, too. Does UConn just guard him straight up with Klingon, and does that make it more difficult for them to find open shots?
I think that's going to be the whole key, is that there's not going to be that rotation that for Purdue offensively that they're normally used to of Edie kicking it back out, because they may dig from the same side, meaning that wherever the ball goes is inner to Edie, so the defensive man that's on the same side of the ball with him may dig down a little bit off of the shooter, and it may be off of Jones, number 55, for Purdue. They may dig off of him. He hasn't been shooting the ball exceptionally well. And, you know, he's not like Lawyer and he's not like Smith. If they're getting open looks, they're going to knock those open looks down. Jones is more the more erratic shooter out of the three.
All right, so let's talk about what ifs. What if UConn wins this thing and completes their back-to-back national championship run? And if you consider how dominant they've been, what does this do for Hurley and UConn and their place in college basketball history?
Well, they're already a blue blood from what they've been able to do here in the last 25 to 30 years in college basketball. I mean, they've been exceptional, but what Danny's been able to do here in the last, you know, few years, and I think that now, you know, it puts them in, you know, up with tier one when you got the Kansas and the Kentuckys and the North Carolina and Duke. It puts them in tier one, no doubt about it. You know, Villanova's been good over the course of the last, 15 years too as well, but UConn is doing something special that we haven't seen since 15 years ago when Florida went back-to-back.
What about Purdue? The only thing that's been missing from Matt Painter's resume is a Final Four and then a national championship. If they can pull this off and get a great UConn team, then what does that put the Purdue basketball program and Matt Painter as a coach?
Well, I think, you know, Matt has done an exceptional job with Purdue. Purdue's been, I mean, you know, you look at Purdue from the early 90s until now, they've been so consistent. I mean, they won three Big Ten titles in a row when there was no Big Ten tournament back in, you know, when we were playing. They were able to win it when the conference was tough then. I think this would solidify what Matt Painter's been able to do in Purdue's program and how they, you know, how they hang their hat on just hard work and getting it done. It would be a great feather in the cap, and it puts them, you know, it puts them, obviously they're already tier one in the Big Ten, and it puts them now into the echelon of great teams and as well as great great basketball coming from their university.
It's crazy to look at their history and all those Big Ten titles that you talked about. They hadn't been to the Final Four since 1980. I can't imagine there's a better program that hasn't won a title since the NCAA tournament started than Purdue. It's isn't that wild? Like that they've been as good consistently as they have, but they haven't been able to turn it into tournament success until this year.
Yeah, I mean that's right up there. Them and Gonzaga probably are the only two. But, you know, but being as dominant in the Big Ten, which is, you know, always a great conference, it's mind blowing that Joe Barry Carroll was the center when the 1980, when, Purdue went to the last time they went to the Final Four before this year, all those great teams and all those great players that have come there. You're right, Nate. It's been kind of baffling every time you see them. And last year, for them to bounce back, they're doing a Virginia. You know, remember Virginia lost to, lost in the first round to Maryland, Baltimore County, Maryland, Baltimore County, and then they lost last year to Fairleigh Dickinson. Purdue did, and now they're getting the opportunity to redeem themselves in the next year. It's interesting, but guess what? It's college basketball.
Speaking of college basketball, all hell's breaking loose right now with the news that John Calipari is leaving Kentucky and going to Arkansas to be the next head coach for the Razorbacks. And there's been people out there now reporting that he was just miserable at Kentucky. He was done with all the criticism and the pressure of not winning enough championships or not going to enough Final Fours. So he's walking away from Kentucky and going to Arkansas. So I'd like to get your thoughts about this from all sides. What do you think of the decision for Coach Cal to leave Kentucky and go to Arkansas? And what do you think is next for Kentucky as they now will start their search for a new head coach?
Well, one, I mean, obviously this is Coach Cal's decision to head over to Fayetteville. But, you know, number one, like, hey, you know what? A lot of coaches get paid a lot of money to do a great job. There's no doubt about that. Kentucky, that's an animal. You know, there is always expectations every day for them every year that, hey, you better be trying to win a national championship once every 3 years. And, you know, I think this year's first-round loss to Oakland, and, you know, now the heat, the cooker really got turned on. But, hey, you know, he's going to get, you know, $10 million a year to go to Arkansas. And guess what? Arkansas is no slouch either. They have a great basketball tradition. So things are going to really, you know, keep moving forward for him. It's starting the pinball effect again in college basketball. It's going to be a domino effect. I think that Kentucky's going to snag somebody that's already doing a great job, you know, somewhere else, another big school. I think that they could go in a couple of different ways. They could hunt down Billy Donovan, but I don't think Billy Donovan wants to leave the NBA anymore. They can go after Nate Oates, but Nate Oates has a huge buyout. But Kentucky doesn't, they're not short on money, and they got $33 million from the buyout with Tyson, the Tyson Foods owner. He paid the buyout for him to go to Arkansas. So they got the money in the kitty to do what they need to do. And, you know, they could go a lot of different directions. I mean, Danny Hurley, they've got the resources to do it. That's the one school that would go out and do it. They can flex if they really want to flex.
That's what Jake wanted to know. If they called Danny Hurley and offered him $10 million a year, do you think they could get him?
Yeah, Danny's buyout is only like $6 million. So I shouldn't say only, but that's in the space we're in now, with there's so much money behind the TV money, and there's so much money now being generated by the athletic departments and the athletic programs of all these universities. And that is people can covet that job. That is one of the best jobs in college basketball. And it's got unlimited resources, and it's got a unbelievable fan base. The fan base will either embrace you or it will chase you. Let's just be honest about this, you know. So that's that. So I think anybody, if the price is right, anybody will go to Kentucky.
The fan base will embrace you or they will chase you. Right out of town, right?
Now they're going to chase you right out of town. That's true, though. That is a true statement, though. You know, anywhere. I mean, KU is the same, Nate. You know, hey, KU is known to be a winner. And, you know, fan bases expect those types of things. When winning becomes so constant, that is what's the norm. That is what the fans expect.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So if you're Kentucky, who would be – you mentioned Nate Oates. Some people are mentioning Bruce Pearl, Scott Drew, all that. Assuming you got the money, like you said, they got the money. Is there anybody that you would be most interested in if you're Kentucky?
Well, the thing is who's going to be able to continue to bring in the type of talent that they've been getting?
Let me ask you this then. Should they? Because some people say that the knock on Coach Cal is, he brings in all these great freshmen, but they never have a chance to grow into great players. And so that's why they lose in the tournament. Would he be better off if he didn't recruit the same kind of players, whoever comes in next?
Yeah, they're going to have to use the transfer portal. They're going to have to get older. It's got to be an older and younger blend, to the roster. It has to be that way now. The way college basketball is, look at the portal right now. I think it's, 1,500, 1,600 players in the portal right now?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a chance to build up a roster. Segue to look what, on the women's side, look what Dawn Staley did. She lost all five starters and came in with younger players, but a mix with older players and went undefeated and won a championship. So, at Kentucky, you're going to have to do it. It's funny because, Kentucky started that whole one-and-done thing. But you know who mastered it? Coach K mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
He took what Kentucky was doing and what Calipari was doing at Kentucky with the one and done, and Coach K ended up mastering it and winning a couple of national championships by doing it.
Would you call Kelvin Sampson?
Woo. Well, I think Coach Cal's, I would call him for sure. I mean, everybody's going to be worth a call.
This is going to be crazy. And then whoever Kentucky hires, then you have this domino effect that all started with the SMU job. It all led to this.
Yeah. It all started with the SMU job with Andy Enfield going to SMU. Then now Musselman. But this was at the end. This was at the end of the whole first cycle of 55 open jobs or 60 open jobs. But now it's about to become another domino effect that with Kentucky being such a large job, it's going to create another domino effect. It's going to create athletic directors to become a little bit more desperate. You could see more extensions going out there for guys not to leave. It's going to create another buzzsaw over the next few weeks.
All right, Dame, before I let you go, we'll just go back to where we started. Official prediction, is it UConn or Purdue tonight?
I thought Mizzou was playing KU in the final tonight. My bad. I think it's going to be a nip and tuck game. It's going to depend on pace, and I think at the end of the day, UConn may end up getting Purdue. So, and that's tough for me to say. I got a lot of friends with Purdue. That's tough for me to say, but I think that's that's what's going to happen. So.
All right, man. Either way, we'll watch it and listen to it right here on 810 tonight. Hey, Damon, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
You too. That's Damon Bethea, former star at Michigan State, who talks basketball with us all the time. You can listen to the national championship game. Westwood One pregame starts at 6 o'clock, and that'll lead you into the tip-off between UConn and Purdue for the national championship tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Eclipse Day. Who's watching it? We get a lot of warnings being put out there that it feels like are unnecessary, but then again,
is it earthquake warning?
I'm reminded that there are people out there that are stupid. Just look at Twitter and you'll find them.
The electromagnetic fields will be messed with.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, moon controls the oceans.
The Missouri State Highway Patrol tweeted this out, retweeted the Missouri Department of Agriculture's tweet. It's Eclipse Day. Motorists are advised to expect heavy traffic on Missouri's interstates and all roads leading into and out of the area of the total eclipse today, so stay safe. And a reminder from the Missouri Highway Patrol. They've tweeted out, do not wear eclipse glasses while driving. So,
but, well, you know what? Useful advice.
Yes, that's a good,
it's
that's a good
sad
one.
That that's necessary, wow. But.
Yes, it's good.
What are you laughing for?
Because there are people might be driving their cars around them glasses and you
right.
Can't see through them.
Well, they've been told no.
Well, I've been told no before, too.
Stop that.
Well, yeah, getting advice is one thing. Listening to it is another.
I got a couple pairs of glasses at Hy-Vee, so I don't.
I saw on a news report last night, too, they also said that when you're driving, don't stop to look at the. Well, don't look at the eclipse while you're driving.
That would be a mistake, I think.
They're afraid that people, and also watch out for pedestrians who might be looking up at the eclipse in the middle of the street, apparently.
Play some Bonnie Tyler, please. So 154 is supposed to be the peak in Kansas City. So, Jake, were you watching this thing?
Probably my house. Just stare right up at it. No glasses.
So now the moon is involved in this.
Sure.
And you're supposed to wear glasses.
Don't do what I do.
Or you could damage your eyes.
My eyes are great. I stare at the sun all the time.
I'm not going to challenge
right
that.
Right in the morning.
How do you feel about the moon being involved in this?
I mean, that's the moon's going in front of the sun.
You have a love-hate relationship with the moon?
Well, it's a big metal orb, and we're not really sure who put it there.
Remember when man walked on the moon?
That never happened. It's a metal-filled orb.
See, I didn't over the park 150. So basically, every 154 is peak. Kansas City, 89%.
It starts around noon.
It starts at 12:37 and 52 seconds.
There you go.
We're accurate around here. Partial eclipse begins 12:37:52. It's a 50% eclipse at 1:20. The maximum eclipse in Kansas City at 1:54:46. 1:54 with 46 seconds. Then it goes back down to 50% by 2:28. And the partial eclipse ends at 3:11, Jake.
Oh,
hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah. You did it.
It's special.
It is. So.
Be careful.
Well, yeah, be careful. We don't want anyone to. We don't want anyone to damage their eyeballs.
Prime time for parasites.
I don't know what that means. What do you?
I don't need to get into.
Yeah, I don't really want you to elaborate. To be honest with you,
the electromagnetic field will be down. Mm-hmm. It scientifically, I'm not. I mean, this is.
Well, like, go on then.
Well, I mean,
if it's science, go on.
It is science.
Go ahead.
I mean, the Earth has magnetic fields, right? We were aware of, you know, a magnet has a North Pole, South Pole. There's magnetic fields on this planet.
And they That's why a compass works, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why a compass works. And those fields will be somewhat down with the moon in front of the sun.
Will your compass go haywire?
It might. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Again, the Kansas and Missouri Departments of Transportation urging people to find a safe place to park to view the event. Don't park on the side of the highway. Don't pull off on the shoulder or stop on major roadways. Exit the highway to view safely. And damn it, don't wear the eclipse glasses while you're driving. So I'm trying to provide people the information they need. Anything else you want to add to that? Nothing, huh? I guess I'm the only one that cares about the community.
I'm excited for the eclipse. You know, we didn't really get to see it. We didn't get a good view of it last time because you and I were in a place that was covered in clouds.
But even though it's covered in clouds, it got dark.
It did get dark. Yeah, you got to see the sky get dark.
Eclipse glasses are not regular sunglasses. Regular sunglasses, no matter how dark, are not safe for viewing the sun. Safe solar viewers are thousands of times darker and ought to comply with, as Jake mentioned, ISO 12312-2 international standards.
That's right.
Using a phone or camera screen could be an effective way of viewing. Taking pictures or filming the eclipse, I don't.
How do you protect yourself from a total eclipse of the heart?
Turn around, bright eyes.
Do you need to wear heart glasses?
Those would be the green ones. It's the heart chakra.
Man.
What else do you have to say about this? I know you got something. You're holding back. You've got some other hot take that we need to know.
I'm just saying there's going to be some crazies out there.
Parasites?
There's going to be some crazies?
Yeah.
Or are some crazies?
Well, there are some crazies that will be magnified. Their craziness will be magnified.
Right.
So, I don't know. Get into your breath. Hold some space for the crazy people.
Aren't we all a little crazy?
Sure.
Will we all be a little crazier during this eclipse?
How about that there's some insane people out there?
Okay.
I don't think we're all insane. Is that fair?
Is there anything you're expecting that we need to look out for, please?
No. I mean, there'll be some earthquakes, but that's pretty normal. I mean, if you look at all the clips, I mean, not like right when it happens, but like in the week following and the week leading up to, if you just look in the span of history, that's normal. Like that's happened around solar eclipses.
Pet owners have been told to keep their animals inside to avoid distress caused by large crowds. Although animals are unlikely to stare directly into the sun.
You get dog sunglasses for
yeah.
Dog eclipse glasses.
Out of your dog. Like, oh,
what's everybody looking at up there?
Augie, stop looking at the sun.
Put those glasses on.
No.
Augie, don't wear those glasses while you're driving.
Right.
Listen to the highway patrol.
It's crucial to remember that directly looking at the sun during the eclipse can cause severe and permanent damage to the eyes.
It's true, by the way. Permanent damage.
Says who?
Doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Eye doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You going to disrespect Dr. Greg Beasler?
Not to his face.
So now, as part of the question of the phone. Someone asked, could the eclipse actually damage devices like smartphones if the camera's being used to try to capture the moment? NASA responded.
Oh, boy.
The answer is yes.
Operation Paperclip.
The phone sensor could be damaged just like any other image sensor if it's pointed directly at the sun. This is especially true if you're using any sort of magnifying lens attachment on the phone.
What are they trying to hide?
You would need to utilize the proper filters just like any other camera. The best practice would be to hold a pair of Eclipse glasses in front of your phone's lenses.
Great. Listen to NASA.
Bunch of rocket scientists.
Sure they are.
If there's any cell phone disruption, it will most likely be in the path of totality, which, oddly enough, was the original name of the show 15 years ago.
Right.
We're trying to come together.
Short-lived. Started. Path of totality.
And Missouri's in it, so.
Well, pretty cool. NASA's a fraud.
And that's unnecessary. Again, that's commentary from Jake Gutierrez, separate from
write that quote down.
Separate from old Stephen and Aiden here.
NASA is a fraud.
Absolutely.
So what do you have nothing to say about the moon's role in this?
I mean, it's got a big role in it.
Do you think that NASA made rockets that went into space?
Do you think the moon's been compromised by any chance?
Yeah, absolutely.
By?
I'm not really sure. Anunnaki, right. Probably. I don't know who came to get the Anunnaki off this planet.
Man, we're two on the line here, aren't we?
It's a big orb filled with metal. It holds our planet in place. Stabilizes our planet.
Don't you want to say anything over there?
It does. The moon stabilizes our planet.
That's fine.
I don't think it's made of metal.
Oh, when they landed, it rang so loud, apparently, when they landed.
They landed? Apparently. They did land? I thought they didn't.
That's what they say.
I was always told as a child that the moon was made of cheese.
That's right.
That delicious white cheese.
Hey, Steve.
You know?
Would you eat me?
I'd like to think that the moon is made of cheese. In my mind, you know, let me imagine what I want. Nice. So there's your eclipse warnings and suggestions, and
take the warnings seriously, people.
And everything else,
people are out for your best interest.
Some
you don't want to permanently damage your eyes.
No. Yeah, who's they?
So then, we're just not supposed to stare right at it. With the glasses or no?
I think if you have the right glasses on, you can look at it.
How do I know I have the right glasses?
That's a good
question. They just
look
like the 3D glasses you get at the movie theater.
You'll be fine no matter what.
I don't think Jake's qualified to tell you that if you're listening right now. That's just my opinion.
Yep.
What makes you say that?
I don't believe Jake's taken a lot of coursework in eye health or.
Sure I have.
Have you?
Yeah, ever heard of urology?
Yeah, you ever heard of that?
No. No, I haven't.
Look it up. Urology.
Okay.
Well, someone's already tweeting in, what did I miss? What's the connection between the magnetic field being down and parasites? So here we go.
Everybody knows parasites need a magnetic field.
Let's take a break. I wanted this to be an informative segment.
It was.
That's falling apart, and so why am I not surprised? We'll be back after this on WHB. Covered all the bases today, talked about the eclipse, talked about parasites, talked about South Carolina finishing undefeated and beating Iowa, Caitlin Clark's college career over. Now she heads to the WNBA. Tonight's championship game between UConn and Purdue, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. The Royals have won four in a row after their four-game sweep of the Chicago White Sox. Off today, then they get ready to take on the Houston Astros. That should be a fun series. We thoroughly discussed WrestleMania and all the run-ins and match interruptions last night during the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes victory over Roman Reigns, John Cena, The Rock, Undertaker, all of them. So
we did not mention Sporting Kansas City blowing a 3-0 lead yesterday.
Well, I was trying to stay away from that, but since you want to end on a sour note, there you go. Mr. Nate Sauer's in there.
On the positive side.
They were up 3-0, and they just blew it.
Blew it.
And Peter Vermees said, everything I told them at halftime, they did the opposite of. So that doesn't seem like it's the right way.
No.
Seems like I play for his team.
Right. Hey, guys, let's do this. Nope.
That's what you got to learn at a parent like my third kid, Andy. You tell him, don't do that. And then don't eat those vegetables.
Man, then
point,
you
do it.
Points you give away like that. Oof. Come back to haunt you.
They've got Lionel Messi in Miami coming up this weekend at Arrowhead.
With Jake Gutierrez in attendance? Has that been established or no?
Do you need a ticket, Jake?
Hasn't been established. See how my dog's doing.
I might have one for you.
Why are you, like, what are you? What's
my dog has surgery Friday. I don't know if I can just leave that pup.
Well, you're not planning on taking your dog, are you?
Well, I don't know if he can be left by his lonesome for that long a time.
That game will be right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB if you're not able to attend, by the way. If you need a ticket, though, Jake, I might have one for you.
See, there it is. It's all available for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.